SEC Media Days wrapping things up here shortly down in Hoover, Alabama. It was Auburn, South Carolina, and Ole Miss today. And, of course, a lot of stuff on Hugh Freeze. A lot of drama around the Rebels. We'll hear some of his comments a little bit later in the program because that story came out about Houston Nutt, a little countersuit yesterday, and you just knew that was going to be the buildup and the hype for today's final day of SEC Media Days. We were down there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday giving you 12 hours of live programming from Radio Row down in Hoover, Alabama. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We had the who's who, basically everybody who's down there on our shows, all three shows down there, giving you live and local stuff from SEC Media Days. Tennessee was down there on Monday. Vanderbilt was down there on Tuesday. Alabama there yesterday. We had Nick Saban on our show. We had Nick Saban on the afternoon show, Jared and the GM talking about it. It was interesting, Greg Sankey. I asked him about the coming to the Predators game. He was glowing about Nashville. He was glowing about Predators. I've seen the quote out there a lot on what Greg Sankey said about the Predators. Of course, not giving this show credit because that's where he said it, about he's going to let everybody in the SEC know they need to look at what the Predators do and figure out that's how they need to market and go about their business. You remember him saying that. Also, Nick Saban asked him about going to the Stanley Cup Final, about being in Nashville in their dealership. He talked about taking his family to the Predators game. But that was pretty neat to hear. And you know a lot of people glowing about the experience that happened here in Nashville with the hockey playoffs.
Well, the commissioner, he said it, frankly, listen. And I think he was saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek. But he said the SEC – these teams in the conference need to take note at what the Predators are doing from a fan standpoint, because anytime you can have during a Stanley Cup that many people, not just in the arena but outside the arena, watching the game downtown, choosing to come downtown rather than to watch it at their house, they're doing something special. And I know he was saying it sort of tongue in cheek, and I said this to you in the car as we were riding home yesterday, Dan. I said this run, and we've talked about it on the show, this run that the Predators went on, it doesn't just affect them now. It affects them in the future and how people look at the Preds, how people look at the Nashville Predator fan, how they look at Nashville, because I think we witnessed something that, especially I think from a hockey standpoint at least, let's just say that we hadn't seen in a very long time. Over, you know, I don't know how many people it was, 150, somewhere around there, people viewing a game, and it was outside. They were outside watching it. Why the 17-plus were watching it inside. You hadn't seen that. I don't think you've seen that in other hockey markets. And what happened this, you know, two months ago, is going to carry them, you know, 5-6 years from now, because that buzz is going to still be around the city because of what happened, you know, during this past Stanley Cup. Now, to get even better if they can win the Stanley Cup, you know, next year, the year after. So it all started with the All-Star game, and then it just exploded with the Nashville Predators run.
Nick Saban told us, in fact, I think his quote was, it was great to see a city support a team the way Nashville did the Predators.
You don't see that at places. Even the cities that constantly win championships, you just don't see it. And I know it's kind of hard to equate football and hockey in regards to playoffs, because football is a one-game elimination, and then hockey and basketball and baseball, they play several games before you're eliminated. So, but to have people outside every game during the Stanley Cup, downtown watching it, I don't think you're going to see that in any other place, especially not, you know, and not involving hockey. I don't think you're going to see that in many other places.
The other thing is we had Vanderbilt, like I said, was on Tuesday, and we had – a chance to catch up with Adam Sparks yesterday on Radio Row and talk a little bit about, you know, what Derek Mason said, a little bit about Vanderbilt, just talking a little bit about their upcoming season expectations, what have you. Some of the interesting games they have on their schedule. I mentioned it yesterday. Three out of their first four games, home games against Kansas State and Alabama, and a road game down to Murfreesboro against MTSU. Not exactly Cupcake City to start off your season. But at the very end of the interview, I asked Adam this. Where is the whole stadium issue, Adam? Where is this headed?
You see me, the sigh right there. You know, it's moving faster and faster toward sharing a stadium off campus at the fairgrounds with an MLS club.
Is that a good idea? I don't think that's a good idea, my personal opinion.
I started out with first reaction, my knee-jerk reaction when I first heard it was that is the worst idea I've ever heard. I have leaned a little more toward it may be okay. But the way that I take it is this. If that's what you do, and you go in and you win year one, you win seven games, win eight games, whatever, then you say this is unique to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's unique anyway. You're not going to look like everybody else in the SEC. This is a home field. It's unique. Yeah, it's off campus, but it looks different. It'll be well done because MLS only does good stadiums. A lot of amenities, all that. It's going to be, hey, okay, you know, this is our home stadium. It's different, but we win here. It's different than anybody else. If you go in and you're bad year one, people will abandon it, and the problems they already have that they will have of people not going off campus to games will only be magnified then. Because right now, if you're bad at Vanderbilt, if you have a bad year, two, three wins, people aren't coming. If you're off campus and you're losing, nobody. Can, it only gets worse.
What's going to be the? What is it going to hold?
Well, there's been talk of the MLS side of it would be 25 or so, I think, and then I think it would be mid-30s maybe for the football side. I don't think the size is going to be an issue.
What are they going to be, retractable? I mean, how's that going to work?
There's different ways that you can
tarp it off?
You can do that. You know, Thompson Bowling Arena back at UT used to do that for Lady Vols games, and so there's a number of options that they're still looking at.
I realize John Ingram's behind this. Can he do both? I mean, he's behind both movements. Can he do both?
Well,
I mean, his wallet should allow both to happen.
Well, his wallet, not to speak too much for John Ingram, but he does have two projects there that he can combine into one. I think this helps him. And he is a very, very loyal Vanderbilt supporter.
Of course.
As loyal as they come in terms of his checkbook. But he does have two things he would like to get done, and he can get, you know, two into one if he does it this way. I think it's a delicate thing. I think where Vandy either has to accept that, say this is what we're getting, let's go that direction, or push back a little and, you know, take the risk of not getting either one, not having, you know, any option there, stadium on campus, off campus, or elsewhere.
By the way, I'm good at spending other people's money. It's pretty easy, actually.
I can do it, too.
What's the big deal, John?
Right. Just build stadiums everywhere.
Just like the checkout. Yeah.
And I realize a part of this is just the there's not a lot of room on Vanderbilt's campus. There's not a lot of room to work with.
I will say I do like how, yeah, there's not a lot of room, but the baseball field, basketball, football, right now that's all in one complex. You can reach out and touch another one from one. And I like that. I like college campuses that you say this is the athletic corner of campus.
Then take down the stadium, play a year at Nissan, and
build it up
and
again.
Build it up again.
Yeah, I think that can work, but, you know, who's going to pay for it? And the guy that can pay the most for it, I think, is really looking at saying, I've got this other project over here, and those could work together real well.
All right, that was our conversation yesterday with Adam Sparks on Radio Row down in Hoover, Alabama. He's with the Tennessean Vandy beat writer. We'll come back and we'll discuss a lot of what you just heard. Good idea, bad idea. We'll delve into that when we come back on 3D. I want to talk to you about Cool Springs MD. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician. Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse. They're the 1-2 punch that runs Cool Springs MD. Been doing it over 20 years in this area, making a ton of you, including me, healthier, happier, and a more beautiful you. And who doesn't want that? And options, they've got options, which is why they're a team over there, a team of doctors and nurses and counselors that will sit down with you and say, hey, how can we help? What can we do? Is it one thing? Is it multiple things? They can address both. Is it weight loss management? Well, they've got a trainer there on site with their own room. They've got programs. they can get you headed in the right direction ASAP. Is it natural hormone replacement therapy? Maybe you're not sure what I'm talking about. Maybe you've never looked into that. Or maybe you're just saying, nah, that can't be me. But you've been feeling really sluggish lately. Haven't been feeling yourself. Really don't have much get up and go. Or you've been experiencing a lot of highs and lows. Well, you might want to talk to those folks about that. That can be a real game changer. Cosmetic procedures, preventative maintenance, skin rejuvenation, your general wellness, they do it all, and they do it all under one roof. 1642 Westgate Circle, Suite 100 there in Brentwood, right off 65 next to Shogun Restaurant there in Cool Springs. CoolSpringsMD.com is their website to find out everything about them. 690-6600, 615-690-6600. Dial those digits, make that appointment, and go see the fine folks at Cool Springs MD. You heard the comments, our conversation yesterday down at SEC Media Days with Adam Sparks from the Tennessean, and we'll just go around the room and talk about it. I'll start with you heard pretty much my opinions in that playback. I believe, this is my opinion, I'm strongly against a joint venue, a joint facility over on the fairgrounds for both Vanderbilt football and the new soccer team, which will start out Nashville SC. I'm opposed to that. I think it's a bad idea. I think they can both, they both need to be standalones. I think you build your 20, 22, 25,000, whatever the right number is for the soccer team, their standalone state-of-the-art facility, which is what is going on, and of course hope that it eventually sooner rather than later turns into MLS. I believe it will. I felt like after the Stanley Cup final and after what just happened, I was there at Nissan Stadium for the CONCACAF Gold Cup game between USA and Panama. There were about almost 48,000 there, and MLS was there in attendance, and they were quite pleased with the turnout and just viewing the city of Nashville. So I do believe it would turn into MLS. Build your own thing. Do your own thing over on the fairgrounds. I'm okay with that. Vanderbilt, do your own thing. I think the attendance now is fine. 38,000, somewhere in that ballpark, 40, 38, somewhere in that range. If we're playing the range game and the price is right, that's fine. Tear it down, build it back up. You have actual seats. Get rid of the high school seats. Take them out. Give them to high schools because that's what it is. It's a high school venue. Get rid of the bleachers, okay? We're in 2017. You need seats. Chair back seats. Suites. Luxury. Bigger concourses. This is what you have to do today. Build your standalone thing right there. You play at Nissan Stadium until it's done. And that's what I would do. I do not like the idea of a – and I realize John Ingram is who gets the final say in this because it's his pocketbook, and I understand he's connected to both the soccer team and Vanderbilt heavily. But I think he has the money, and I just think it makes sense to do it separate. Do one over on the fairgrounds, which would be soccer. I agree with Adam. I like where it's at. I like the fact that baseball, basketball, and football are right there. You can reach out and touch each one. You know that little corner of Vanderbilt's campus. It's where everything resides when it comes to sports. Across the street is the indoor facility and tennis and soccer and everything else. So I like that area. Keep it there. Tear it down. Rebuild it back up. What do you guys think?
Willie, how big is Vandy Stadium right now?
It holds about 39,000, something like that.
Okay.
Depending on, you know, how many people are sitting on the grass, you know,
see,
in the end zone there.
That's, even though I know that's kind of their little nuance within the stadium, every stadium has its little quirkiness or little thing that you dislike about the stadium. I understand that's one of the areas that possibly the students love. But to me, why don't you take out a portion of that? You rebuild the stadium right there. I was just reading an article on CBS, and they talked about stadiums being built The additions, the subtractions. Kentucky, when they redid their stadium, they downsized from 67 to 61. So they felt that, listen, we can't hold 67 people, so we're going to downsize, but what we are going to do
That's not true. Kentucky football can hold.
Yeah, they can hold.
They decided to do what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Luxury.
They added 24 luxury suites.
Club suites.
Absolutely.
Luxury.
So they still get their money, but with less, you know, seats in the stadium.
I think there'd be some merit to that.
And then Arizona State did the same thing. They went from 71,000 to 60,000 in their new stadium. So I was trying to figure out, well, what is the right number for a stadium? I know we have these mega stadiums where it's 106. You know, Michigan, I think they hold 110, or Alabama and UT, they hold well over 100,000. But what is
UT downsized.
Yeah, UT downsized.
And they
too.
Did luxury.
Exactly. So what is the right number? I think for Vandy, if they are at 39 now, I think you go down to 35, maybe 34, add luxury suites. If you're going to – I don't think you should move it, because if you're having a hard time getting people to games now, what makes you think me as a student will get in my car, drive over to the fairgrounds, park, sit there, fight back through traffic, and come back to campus? How many people do you think are going to do that?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Absolutely.
So, all right, so let's get to the real question here. I think anybody – if given the choice, would you rather have a brand new stadium on campus, or would you rather have a brand new stadium at the fairgrounds? Everybody would vote for on campus.
Exactly.
Right? It would be 100%. Nobody would vote. The issue is what Adam brought up, and that is, financially, can both be done? And let's say the issue is they can't both be done. So now what do you do? They're going to build a soccer stadium. They're going to build a soccer stadium.
It's not that they can't be done.
They can be done.
They choose not to do
right.
it. Yeah. It's not, they can do it.
Well, then why haven't they done it?
Because they don't want to do it.
He wants to try to combine them both.
Exactly. He doesn't want to do it.
Well, you're talking about he.
Them. Let's just say them. No. I'm not going to say he.
Okay, but see, this is the first problem. It shouldn't just be we're relying on one guy. Build two stadiums. Hey, John, it'd be great if you build us a soccer stadium. All right, I got that. Hey, John, while you're at it, can you build us another football stadium too? Oh, sure. I mean, why is it just on
Vanderbilt can person. Help? They have a $1 billion endowment. Vanderbilt can help if it means something.
Yes. But they're going to run into the same problem. What have we been talking about for the last year or two? Coach Corbin had to do what?
Go raise his own
exactly.
money.
Exactly. He shouldn't have to do that. Your endowment is X amount of dollars. You should be able to – he shouldn't have to go solicit money, even though I know those guys didn't have a problem with doing it because they have a vested interest in what Coach Corbin is doing, what he has done. They feel a certain connection to that stadium. But that shouldn't be his responsibility solely. So if he had to go out and solicit money, what makes you think they're going to do it for the football stadium?
Well, they have to find a way.
They know the way.
No,
it's not finding a way.
Well, it seems pretty simple, but I don't think they do a very good job of fundraising. I think they need to do a better job of cultivating the fan base, putting an effort, connecting to the fan base, all the things we talk about with the Titans. But that's a big part of the issue. I think that they should not. My answer to your question, Darren, is I don't think they should settle for playing in the soccer stadium. I think they should build a soccer stadium. Our city should build a soccer stadium. It'll be great. MLS will kick some butt here. It'll give us a great thing to have over the summer. It'll be a great next step for us as a sports city. And I think Vanderbilt should wait until they get their ducks in a row and find a way to build a new stadium on campus. I love the synergy of having the baseball, the basketball, and the football right there. That is part of the Vanderbilt campus. I just cannot imagine that you would not play games on the campus. That's my opinion. I agree that with Adam that, hey, who's going to pay for it? And that's the problem. And you guys say, well, it's easy. You know, it's Vanderbilt. Well, it's I don't. It's not that easy, or else they would have done
well,
it by
well,
now.
It's hard when you want one guy to pay for it. It's
right,
hard when you
right.
want one guy to
they,
pay for
they
it.
They've got to
that.
Find some other people who care enough and want to make it happen. And from the university level down, it's time. They've got to renovate that stadium. And I think the best thing to do, but I think most people who have
There's
looked
no
at the stadium
you
now,
sh- you bleachers,
they look at
you
it and they say,
seats.
It's not worth renovating, quote unquote. You're better off just building a new one. But like you said, you knock it down, build it back up in the same exact spot. Is that what you do, or do you build it across the street?
No, I would just build it there. Like I said, I don't think they have any room to work with. I mean, you tell me.
You know that campus
across
better
the
than
street,
everybody.
Where?
Yeah.
Well, there's
the parking
big
lot.
You've got
the parking lot over
parking
there.
Parking lot, I think, would be the place.
But then where would you put the parking?
Well, I'm with you guys. Ideally, you would build it right in the same spot. You need a bigger space, though. It needs to be a little bit bigger to because the biggest problem, I think, with the stadium is not the bleacher seats, not to me. Because you could put chairback seats in the existing stadium and have chairback seats. The biggest problem is the concourse. The concourse is not
way
big enough.
Too small.
Yeah.
And the other problem is you just don't have, in this day and age, enough premium seating for your big donors, your big customers. There's just not a whole lot in that bridge area.
Well, you can
for
build
people to
up
accommodate.
And build out, right? And that
you would need to take that street basically, and eliminate that street that goes up there. I think it's is it Jess Neely that goes up.
That's fine.
Or Natchez Trace. Natchez Trace. I think.
I think that's
maybe both.
Yeah, both.
That whole corner, which is a logistical issue, because now everybody's got to go around there. I like being able to drive right up in there, but. To get the size of the concourse that you need to accommodate the fans, I think that's what you want. You want to improve the fans. I love the sidelines at Vanderbilt Stadium. I don't mind sitting on the bleacher seat. Yes, me? That's just my opinion. I think there's no bad seats in that stadium. It's a great place to watch a game for me.
Well, people get tired of sitting in those seats when
the
it's
concourse
like 30
is a big
degrees
problem.
Or it's raining. You
what I
want to
see,
oh,
sure, what I want to see, Brentwood Academy.
If you're sitting in the rain in a nice seat,
NBA,
does that make any difference to you?
I love it.
It does. Yeah, it makes a difference to me if I'm sitting in a bucket seat and it's raining or it's cold. It makes a big difference.
That doesn't make any difference to me. No, I'd rather not sit in the rain either way.
We're past aluminum seats.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
You can't lean back. You got to sit up every day.
We're way past that.
That should have been one of the things that were gone.
Hey, 1994 call. They said, hey, they want their aluminum seats back. I mean, come on. We're past
high schools.
We're
like 1984. Some high schools don't use aluminum seats. Goodness.
I mean, we're way past that. All right, we'll continue this discussion. I think, how do they go about this? Because both are in need. Mm-hmm. Both need to happen. I think both are going to happen, right? Because we know that soccer is coming, mm-hmm. and we know Vanderbilt Football Stadium needs a facelift. It needs a facelift and a couple other things.
Well, you know how I feel about the soccer thing. I just think it needs to be, and we could talk about this on the other side. I think it needs to be multi-purpose with the Titan Stadium, their new stadium.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to 3D, 102.5 The Game. All right, let's get to the soccer side of things. Derek, you threw that out there. Before last weekend, we had the CONCACAF Gold Cup here at Nissan Stadium, and you had a doubleheader. You had USA and Panama in the first game, and Martinique and what was it, Nicaragua? I don't remember the second game. But you had almost 48,000 for that game, the largest attended soccer game in the state of Tennessee for U.S. and Panama. MLS was here. I said it after the Stanley Cup final run for the Predators. I just believe, just looking at how soccer's tried to get their footprint in this country and how they've continued to grow things on the MLS side, and now the, what is it, the USL? Is that what it's going to be, Willie, the USL? Is that right?
For starters.
Yes. The Nashville SC. And by the way, like a team like Cincinnati at Nipper Stadium, who's bringing in 30,000 a game for the USL. It's going to start out that, and I firmly believe it'll be sooner rather than later. It'll be MLS. I just think this is what soccer wants, a vibrant city like ours, a lot of millennials, which let's be honest, a lot of the folks that are moving, most that are moving here every single day are millennials. And I just think it fits the bill. It just makes way too much sense. I think some of the things that happened with the crowds outside Bridgestone Arena, I'm sure that got their attention because that's what they're looking for. It's kind of soccer, the reason that it continues to grow. It's fun. You know, you go there, you chant, you sing, you dance, you blow those damn vuvuzelas. Thank goodness there really weren't very many at Nissan. Thank goodness.
Thank you.
But that's exactly what the crowd was, right? It was vibrant. It was for the Predators, and it got so much attention for all the right reasons. I believe this city is absolutely going to be an MLS city. Do you guys?
Well, I think there is a huge following, soccer following here, that is just waiting for soccer to come here. I think there is a demographic of people that moved here from other states or other countries that just want, you know, they like football, they like hockey, but they love soccer and they can't wait for it to potentially come here. You can tell by when and even the one before they played at Nissan Stadium, they basically packed the place. People came from everywhere here in the Nashville area and probably even beyond to watch a game in Nissan Stadium. So I believe it definitely will work. I think what the Predators, that run, it didn't hurt them. It helped. If anything, it helped show you how energized a fan base can be when you're doing things the right way. And I'm pretty sure once the MLS team gets here, they will do things the right way. But I'm just not a proponent of a standalone stadium for them. I think, and we've talked about this before, eventually the Titans got to have to build a new stadium. There's no way around it. I think it should be a dual stadium. Look at what Arthur Blank is doing in Atlanta with his MLS team. He built Mercedes-Benz Stadium so it can house not just his Atlanta Falcons, but then again his MLS team and any other, you know, national team that wants to come in and play yearly. It's that big, but then they can condense it or whatever they have to do as far as seating to house their MLS team and have the fans in it. So I think the Titans and I think city officials really need to look at that instead of just building a standalone stadium on a fairground.
If I read correctly, though, Derek, in the Q&A with the MLS commissioner, which I thought was very telling, because number one, he was glowing about Nashville. He wasn't holding back at all. You know, it's not like they just kept peppering with questions. Did you really like Nashville? No, seriously, did you really like it? Like he was churning out all this information. Like he has done his homework. He was talking about the Predators, all of these things. But I think what he said about the dual stadium was that. They have, I don't know if he said they made a rule, but it says basically we want, because you have, when you have 12 cities vying for four teams, you can pretty much dictate your terms.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we want our teams playing in the stadium where they're the main tenant, or at least under the same ownership. Arthur Blank, I think, owns the...
Yeah, he owned the MLS
the
team.
MLS team. Mm-hmm. The Titans are not going to own this team.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I don't think they can play in that stadium other than... if it's an occasional game or maybe while their stadium is getting built.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of developing that area around the fairgrounds. I think that is the next area that would be
I think you still can
there.
Develop it, Willie. I'm not saying don't develop it. Yeah.
I just think that they're down the road with that. I think they're going to build this stadium on the fairgrounds. I'd be surprised. It's on track. It's going to happen. Just the last thing that has to happen is to win the bid for one of the four expansion teams. I think that is going to happen. I think it's a slam dunk. It's going to be outstanding. I think the right people are in place, and I think it's in motion. I think the biggest question is, what does Vanderbilt do? I would not vote for having the football team play there. I just don't think it would work.
Let's go to Grover. Grover, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, about the stadium thing, if you guys have ever taken in a game at the Columbus Crew Stadium, what they built specifically for the team, or in L.A., it's Carson, actually, Carson, mm-hmm. California, where the Galaxy play. It is tremendous.
You mean the home of the Chargers?
Yeah. but what I'm really calling about, though, is one thing you guys haven't really touched on, I think Derek did briefly, was that the cultural demographic divide, as I'm using that loosely, in this town, because there's a ton of different ethnicities here from all over the world, and I know this because of my wife is a first grade teacher who has a first grade English as a second language course in at Tusculum Elementary, and she's had her current count is 32 different languages come through in her 12 years.
Wow!
All refugee kids and just all kinds of people from different backgrounds all over the world, and that demographic alone is that diversity alone. Would spearhead an MLS team here for sure.
I think that is a very important component of this, and I think the key would be to make sure you're marketing properly mm-hmm. to that community. Because sometimes, I have not seen a huge demographic from them at a lot of some of the soccer games we've had, mm-hmm. but you get the right team there, like when they had the Mexican team playing, mm-hmm. you had huge numbers of people, and a lot of them do live in this area. I think that would be a great place to cultivate a fan base. I agree with you, Jeremy. It would be a big, big part of it, but you got to have your price structure the right way. You got to market the right way, because I think getting that faction involved would be awesome. It would be massive.
The question is, can they truly revitalize the fairgrounds?
I think they can.
I think so.
I think they can.
Can they turn it into?
It's already happening. It's already happening.
I agree. So it's kind of like you use the, I guess, First Tennessee Park. You use the sounds. Okay, they've kind of revitalized that area. So if you're looking for areas, fairgrounds needs help. Mm-hmm. You revitalize it by putting it there, and everybody believes that'll change things.
I think it will.
What else are you going to do there?
You put other stuff around it.
Okay,
you would have to put something that embraces the area too, whether it's some type of park, of some fields where kids can, whether it's soccer games, little league soccer games, little league football games. It has to be something like that where the community can enjoy it, where people outside of that area can come in and enjoy it as well. I mean, they'll make a lot of money if they throw in a bunch of high rises, but there are a bunch of high rises downtown and east of downtown.
Well, First Tennessee Park. Yeah. What are they building?
Right across the street. Condos everywhere. I think that place, that area should be without condos. I just think it should be. I think it should be something that the community can embrace as it was before.
What about, do you want to build restaurants?
Yeah, bars? You can build restaurants.
I think you try
to
encompass all of that.
Exactly.
Doing it right.
You try to do it all.
You think we've got to relieve a little pressure on the downtown? The downtown is so packed now. It's almost getting to be, if it keeps growing that way, you don't want people to say, well, I can't go downtown.
Well, they're just going to end up shutting the streets down.
Yeah.
Because
it
just can't hold
But now
everything.
if you were expanding now on the north side where First Tennessee Park is, so there's going to be some natural growth that way. And now on the south side with the soccer stadium, I think it fits well. It just expands where people are going
footprint.
And things like that. I agree with you, though, Derek. You have to try to keep affordable housing in there. You got to keep green space in there, which is why I think the next thing would be the old Greer Stadium, just a few blocks away from the mm-hmm. fairgrounds, would be a great place for fields, baseball fields, soccer mm-hmm. fields, a big complex there would be perfect.
Yeah. Well.
But you just can't just plop a state-of-the-art soccer facility there and just leave it. I mean, you don't want to be the Braves situation.
The
old Turner Field, where they didn't do anything,
right,
and then eventually they're like, you know what, you didn't build it up. Like we went to St. Louis. We went to the Cardinals games when we were there. When the Predators were taking on the Blues. I mean, they've done a really good job there at New Bush Stadium of building things around there where there's
right.
something going on right around the ballpark.
Yeah, and I still think it could be a lot better.
I agree, but at least there's something.
There's something. They built a little ballpark village is what they call it right next door to the baseball stadium. I think if I read correctly in the Q&A, they were talking about the neighborhood, how it's already growing. And stretching, that Berry Hill area out that way. I think it would just be natural. I think it would be the way our city is growing. It would be a perfect fit for where it's going. I think it's a slam dunk.
We'll be back. Dedicated to whoever gave us mood lighting here in the studio.
We can dim the lights in our studio. This is a great feature. When did this happen? I get back from vacation, you can dim the lights in our studio. This is fantastic.
Well, when I was gone, I said, well, did we get anything new? Because typically when you leave, something changed when you come back.
Yeah.
The neighborhood. You know, we got these cup-holding things on the side of the wall. Now Willie leaves and comes back, got dimmers. Let's all leave again and maybe get this joint painted or something, man.
We're working on it for you.
One thing at a time. 2018, Derek, 2018.
Every foam replaced.
Auburn is one of the final teams at SEC Media Days, and they were just showing on SEC Network. Now it's starting to go viral out there. One Auburn Tigers fan basically painted his dog like to look like a tiger. That guy should be, first of all, they should do that to that guy, to the owner.
He would love it.
And the sad part is I don't think it's punishment. That's the sad part. But to do that to your dog, to make him look like a tiger, he's orange and white and black and looks like a tiger. If you get on Twitter or anywhere else, it's starting to go viral. This Auburn fan, to do that to your dog, you know, like I said, they should force him to look like that, but I'm not sure he would view that as punishment. I think he would probably
enjoy it. Yeah. He might keep that look for a while.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about a statement that was made the other day. You guys might have tackled this. But Dan Mullen and the comment of he feels like it's easier in some ways to build a program than to sustain a program. I had never really heard anybody say that before, but as I thought about it, I thought there may be some sense to that.
Well, why wouldn't there be? I mean, you're buying your stock low. You buy a stock low,
yeah,
and there's no expectations when you buy a low stock.
I didn't realize he's been there for nine. This is his ninth year.
Yep.
Wow.
Think about what he took over.
Right, and he's done a very good job, but it is. But I think at a place like that, it is hard to sustain.
Well, look at Franklin when he got here, before he left.
Penny stock.
Built it up and then bolted.
Like, really, when you think about it, I mean, would we build it up those 3 years? We make it out like at times like it's the most magical 3 years. I mean, it really wasn't that magical.
Well, for Vandy, really, it was.
When you really get down to the body work, but that's the point. I think this is what the point is. That's what Dan Mullen is saying. Mm-hmm. It was penny stocks. James Franklin was buying penny stocks.
Yeah.
So the expectations are so incredibly low. And then when you come in and you do that, it looks like it was the greatest thing ever.
The bar was extreme. No, there was no bar. Well,
no. Think about it. Think about the year prior.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
What did they just – they lost to like 50 to Wake Forest on the final game of the season, which had like 50 people
You're talking about Vanderbilt or Mississippi State?
Yeah, Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I mean, there was 50 people there. I mean, the stock couldn't be any lower, and he comes in and – the point is, did he do a fantastic job? Yes, but you would think if you just moved here and listened to the stories that he won, you know, two division titles and they were close to winning the national championship. No, he bought penny stock and he raised that stock to, you know, $19 a share.
But I think the principle is an interesting principle brought up by Dan Mullen, that the longer you stay,
the harder it is.
It gets hard, especially you've got it to a certain point.
Because the expectations raise.
Isn't Butch Jones starting to hit that?
Yeah.
To some degree?
Well, I think he's
looked great the first couple years.
It's hit.
Because it was so down.
Building it up.
And now it's kind of like, well, it's time to win. And I'm not sure they're ready to win, at least right now.
What happened in Georgia with Mark Rick? He built it up. And it got to a point where
it's no longer good enough.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Well, we'll move on to the next guy.
We want more.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, Dan Mullen had Mississippi State a couple years ago, the number one team in the country. So then the expectations get raised, right? I mean, you have this.
Now you did it once. You can do it again.
Well, right. You know, who's your next Dak Prescott? Yeah. You but had Dak Prescott. So who's your next? Where's the next
Dak
Prescott?
Okay, so now
and,
let's.
And by the way, Fitzgerald is really good.
Yeah.
Okay, but you talked about it. James Franklin found an opportunity and left. I'm not sure. I mean, deep down, you'd have to ask James Franklin. I think he would have been fine. If that opportunity never happened, would he have survived the setback that the roster was going to have for a year, maybe 2 years, that Derek Mason ended up inheriting? I think James Franklin probably would have found a way through it and maintained it, but he'd be in that same sort of boat
as
that
Dan Mullen. Yes.
Yeah.
And I still think that would have been great, at least if you ask me, as a Vanderbilt alum, do I enjoy that the football team is relevant and can beat some good teams on given days and go to bowl games? I'm fine with that. I'm not going to keep raising my bar necessarily. I doesn't mean I don't want it to happen and wouldn't try to have, you know, do everything you can do to try to make it happen. But Dan Mullen has stayed, right? This is his ninth year. Do you think he's maybe kicking himself by saying, well, maybe I should have just gone and built up another program for 5 years and then did the five and dive like a lot of coaches
do? Let me pose
do.
This question since we just came off this topic. If James Franklin, if Jimmy Franks was still the head coach here, do you think we'd be talking about a joint venture between a football stadium and a soccer stadium?
Nah. No.
No. The answer is no way in you know what.
And that's where
no way in you know what James Franklin is going to be having them discussing a soccer stadium and a football stadium sharing them being, you know, joint tenants. No way.
That's where he was so good. And he backed it up because he had instant success. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, his roster that he inherited was ready. It was a veteran roster that had some pretty good players that we didn't really know about at the time. We didn't know much about Jordan Matthews when he got there, Jordan Rogers, Zach Stacy. They were, you know, they were there. They'd been there for a year or two. Chris Boyd. I mean, some of the difference-making guys, they were sort of sitting there ready to win. He was the guy that helped them win. Derek Mason got there, had a very young roster that I'm not sure anybody could have done a whole lot with, and they looked bad. But Derek Mason is just now getting to the point where he has a little bit of leverage. He's got a contract extension. He's got some momentum. He's beaten Tennessee. James Franklin was the best I've ever seen at wielding the leverage and getting things done. He just willed things to happen. He was so energetic. He was getting people rallied around it. Will Derek Mason be able to do some of that? If deep down he wants a stadium on campus, which I've never asked him.
Derek Mason does not want to go to the fairgrounds.
I don't think he does. I don't think anybody would.
Would you? No coach would want to leave campus anybody want to go somewhere else.
No.
I agree. So what is he doing behind the scenes? What kind of leverage does he have? What kind of people can he rally to say, we got to think about this. We got to find a way to get this done. Might take a little bit more time. But we can't go play at the fairgrounds.
No, but one reason I think because you take away some of the lore and some of the things that were built in regards to Saturday football, guys walking from football building or wherever to the stadium, that means a lot to those players. Taking that away, riding in on a bus, it felt like you're an away team. Just,
if I was Derek Mason on West End, I would be behind the scenes going, I get it, but no way. We got to have our own place. Yeah. Can't be sharing with the soccer team. Sorry. Let them do their thing. We'll do our thing. Hour number four of 3D next.